Getting your thoughts and feedback as we move forward into a search for a new worship leader later this year. Please fill that out. You can either fill it out and leave it in, put it in the offering plate, put it in my mailbox in the other room, or email the responses back to the church secretary. Either any way you would like to, we welcome your feedback. Also, there's the Centennial Committee is working on some more ideas, and if you're willing to help, contact the people listed there. And again, in your bulletin is another insert, the litany of commissioning for voting members. We'll actually have two voting members this year at Synod. Pastor Stephanie will be representing one of our votes, and the other vote will be Denise Hawley, but I believe she's chasing soccer kids today, so she was not able to be with us today. But if Pastor Stephanie, if you'd come forward, please, we can
certainly
go through this litany. So. This coming Thursday through Saturday, May 3rd through 5th, we'll join together in assembly at the Rocky Mountain Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. There are 163 congregations as well as numerous campus ministries, camps, and social ministries that make up the Rocky Mountain Synod. Each congregation is invited to send voting members to the assembly. This year we'll focus on the assembly is for the life of the world. During our time together, we will focus our conversations on that the body of Christ does not exist for itself, but for the sake of the world. As people of faith, we have been called to new life in Christ so that we may serve as the Spirit's instruments of healing and hope for every neighbor of our globe and earth itself. We will gather as church to discuss where God is leading us together, and during this assembly, there will be a bishop selection. As in one body, we have many members.
So we who are many are one body in Christ.
Where two or three are gathered in my name, says the Lord,
I am there among them.
Live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and greatness, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Let us pursue what makes for justice and peace, and for mutual ability.
Our congregation has appointed Pastor Stephanie and Denise Hawley to be voting members from our congregation. Will you assume the office in which you have been appointed, and will you endeavor to carry out its duties faithfully to the glory of Christ our Lord and in service of the one holy church?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
People of God, will you support and pray for Pastor Stephanie and Denise in this work?
We will, and we ask God to help us.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you call your people to service and give them varied tasks in the world and in your church. Grant Pastor Stephanie and Denise grace and strength as they serve as voting members of the Rocky Mountain Synod Assembly. May they serve you faithfully to the glory of your name, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior. Lord and Savior, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. I appreciate you asking me to be your person together with Denise at Synod Assembly. As you see, This was, I think, the microphone. This is, of course, happening this coming week, and so next Saturday I will make a frantic drive back to Casper after assembly is over and then be here on Sunday morning, so God willing, the creeks don't rise. There was a question last week why I was reading the gospel from the middle of the congregation. I am perfectly willing to do this differently, but the reason for it is that the gospel reading is not a lesson. It is not something that is supposed to be read to you, but supposed to be read in the middle of the congregation, because the word of God takes root and takes place in the middle of the congregation. And so if this makes sense to you, then I will continue that practice. If you rather go back to what you might have been doing before, that it was being read from up here, that is fine with me too. I am entirely flexible on that. Talk to me after worship. We'll do it one more time this week in the middle, and then I'll do whatever you tell me after worship, what makes sense to you. Last but not least, I would like to have another opportunity to talk to you, with you, after worship. So if there is interest in, because I need to get some gauge on where you are and who you are and what you think might be the future that God is calling us to in this place, in this time, in this congregation. So if we can get together again after worship, I would appreciate it. If you have other plans, I understand. Also, if last week there was no one who wanted to make use of the individual times that I was going to set, if you are interested in that, I will make myself available again. Last week, no one said they wanted to, so I went home. So if, again, I don't have anybody, I'm not going to sit around for 2 hours. I'm just going to go home. So you will need to let me know ahead of time. Any questions on that? Any other announcements for the good of the body of Christ, the church? Yes, there is.
I just have one thing to say. We had Special Olympics Thursday and Friday this week in Gillette. Uh-huh. And Jake took fourth in shot put. Woohoo!
Good for you.
And he got gold in the 50 and the 100-yard dash.
Wow.
Wow.
And silver in basketball skills. So he did really awesome. So we're very proud of him. So
congratulations. That's awesome. All right. Anything else? Let's gather our hearts and our minds to worship God. Will you please rise? We have gathered here in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joined to Christ in these waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life. And above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, your grace, and your love. To you be given honor and praise, through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
You give us your Son as the vine, apart from whom we cannot live. Nourish our life in his resurrection, that we may hear the fruit of love and know the fullness of your joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Reading this morning is from Acts 8:26-40. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb, silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will say Psalm 22:25-31 responsibly. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God.
For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations.
Indeed, all who sleep in the earth shall bow down and worship. All who go down to the dust, though they be dead, shall kneel before the Lord.
Their descendants shall serve the Lord, whom they shall proclaim to generations to come.
They shall proclaim God's deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying to them, "The Lord has acted." Our second reading is from 1 John 4:7-21. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way: God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branches cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So today I was a little better informed, and I actually have a children's time. So for those of you, it wasn't in the program, and so I read through the program, you know, when I was at home 2 weeks ago, and I said, "Oh, I don't need one." But then I was told last week, actually, there are children's times. So if anybody is courageous and daring enough, please do come up here. All right, so how do you usually do this? You guys sit here and I sit there, or I sit right there. I will follow directions. I should have brought some grapes, but, you know, I've been in the car since yesterday afternoon, and I thought the grapes were probably not going to last that very well for that long a time, so I brought an apple instead. Okay, let's do something about this mic. Let's try this. Is this better? Yeah. All right. So, apple, nothing new to you. You have seen those. You have eaten those. You know. Where did I get this from?
Your home.
My home? Uh-huh. That's exactly where it was before I brought it up here. You're exactly right.
Where was it before it went to my home? In an apple orchard. You skipped the point in the grocery store, but you're exactly right, in the apple orchard. Okay, what was it before it became an apple?
At the groceries.
At the groceries, yes. Uh-huh. And before the groceries, apple orchard, and now we are... What was this apple when it was just a baby apple?
A seed.
A seed, there we go. And what happened with the seed? How did the seed become an apple?
Because it grows.
Because it grows, and it grows as what? Does it grow as an apple? If I stick a seed of an apple into the ground, does an apple pop up, or is there some step in between? There's a tree. And the tree has what?
Flowers
on it. Very good. Did anybody make sure that when the seed was in the ground, something would happen with it? The roots would come out. Does it need like a little bit of Diet Coke? Or let's see what else. Some nachos? To water. There we go. That's probably healthier for the
pumpkin.
Yes. What's that?
A pumpkin.
If it is very hungry, it might also eat a pumpkin. Yes, you're right. So you have a seed that goes into the ground. You have a tree grow out of it, and the tree grows. Initially, it looks like just a stick in the mud, and eventually, what do you have? You have branches coming out. And then you have someone who is picking this apple, and then you have someone else who is putting that apple into a truck, and then you're taking it to the grocery store, and then I take it back home. Just as a gut feeling, how many people do you think did it take to get this apple into St. Luke's Lutheran Church? Buffalo. Sorry, I've been in Casper for 19 months. In Buffalo, Wyoming. How many people, give me a guess, what do you think, did it take to get it here? 40 people would be a really good number, yeah? I really don't know. I'm guessing myself. I'm thinking anything between 15 and 80. You know, someone probably washed this thing in between, or at least I would hope they did. Do you know how many people it takes to make things happen? Not just the apple, but the fact that this apple orchard grows, that the little seed can actually sprout, that the apple is being picked, that it's being packed, that it's being wrapped, that it goes from one place to the next. That many people. And the point of it is they're all connected. They're all connecting so that we have an apple here today. Have you ever thought of that? How much it takes to make our life work, and how much we do in order to make other people's life work. Yeah. Uh-huh. And the amazing thing that Jesus talks about is that we are all interconnected, that we are all working hand in hand for and on behalf of one another, which is amazing. And Jesus is always at the center of what we do in the world and for each other. That's what he tells us today about. He is a vine, and we are the branches who are branching out, going in different directions, making life possible, not just for ourselves, but for other people too. And so this morning, that's what we pray for. Shall we? Together? Okay, so do you do this? I say something, you respond, or do we just pray together? We just pray together. We can do that. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for all the people that are connected to you and how you stay connected with us so that life is possible. We thank you for Jesus at the center. Amen. Thank you. That was very cool. Appreciate you all coming back. All right, so I decided last week that this pulpit is a little too far away from my taste from the rest of you guys. So if you don't mind, I'm going to come down here. And I borrowed the music stand and I had the permission. I asked. So we'll do it this way. Probably should tell you, I spoke at the Episcopal Cathedral the other day for an occasion, and there you need to stand in the pulpit because you have, like, what do I know, 2,000 people in front of you. But, you know, here, this makes no sense. So, at least not to me. So there we go. Let's pray together. May God grant that only the truth will be spoken here and only the truth will be heard. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So if you remember last week, then Jesus told us that he was like a shepherd, a good shepherd, and a shepherd who knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. This week he compares himself to a vine, with branches that go out from him and connect, bringing fruit while being nurtured, and kept connected, and through him, as the vine, each and every one of those branches has life and can live. Now, what I didn't tell you last week is that my personal experience with sheep is pretty much limited to those that I saw in my times in England and Scotland, and the two herds that I see grazing close to I-25 when I come up here now to Buffalo. But I do know something about vineyards and vines. I grew up in the vine-growing area in Germany, in the Rhine River Valley, close to the Palatinate Forest and the Mosel River, which together with the Rhine River Valley sport the warmest and most temperate climate for wine growing. And so wineries and tours of vineyards were part of my upbringing on Saturday and Sunday excursions with the family. And what I remember most of those introductions, except of course for the fact that my brothers are 5 and 7 years younger and could never behave, was the fact that vineyards are a lot of work for the vintner. That constant checking of the soil content and soil composition, moisture levels, sun exposure, and the perfect temperature. Yes, Lois, there we go, the perfect temperature. We were talking about that this morning in terms of the temperature of the ground. Is it the right temperature now to actually make something grow? And so when you figure in unpredictable weather, it is nearly impossible to have any control over any of this, right? Like with farming and ranching in general, I often wonder if the biggest challenge that a vintner actually has is not so much the work itself, and it is said in Germany that for a vine to actually bring fruit, you have to walk as a vintner around it at least 100 times, tend it in one way or the other at least 100 times before it can bring fruit. But the most important question is probably whether the universe, or at least the weather, is a friendly force to your endeavor or if it isn't. Being dependent on weather, which, as far as I am concerned, is rather fickle, without which nothing would happen, but with which it can actually make it grow and make it happen, but it can also destroy your life's work in a half hour of hail in a summer afternoon. I'm sorry, I'm not cut out to be a vintner.
It would probably wreck my sanity, if there is any left to begin with. But at the same time that I would go with my parents and my brothers to vineyards during the weekends, I also grew up in a city of 500,000, which was 40 minutes south of a city of 2 million. And so, no, we did not have a backyard or a garden or anything like that. But it was therefore even more interesting for me to see at those vineyards how vines grow and flower and bear fruit and lose their leaves in the fall. Those are all things that a vine should do. I understand that. But have you ever considered the fact that this vine is doing that without any instructions? Without a manual? Without a formal teacher? How do they know what to do when they do it? Is it all instinctive? But then again, can a vine ever be anything else but a vine? How does it work? Because it is so different with us humans, isn't it? We don't naturally know what to do. We are constantly learning from one another, from being connected to each other, and from learning to let go, at the same time learning to get closer, learning to grow apart again. We always are in this dance of intimacy, in between getting apart in our need for independence and coming back together, trying to figure out how much apartness we can stand and how much togetherness we can stand at the same time. So when Jesus reminds his disciples and by extension us that branches need to stay connected to the vine to bear fruit, he doesn't so much talk horticulture, but reminds us to negotiate that need for closeness that we always have, and at the same time that need for independence in our lives, and yet the need to stay connected to the vine, connected to him, the one who gives us the identity by who he is and by what he makes us who we are. So, how do we judge a branch? By its length? By its strength? By its creativity? By its originality? Do we judge it by its connection to the vine? Now, if this sounds like an evangelism dilemma to you, it really is. Because what it asks is, who can be brought in? Who might need to remain outside of the body of Christ? Who can we accept? Who can come in? Do they have to know the Lutheran liturgy? Can they learn the Lutheran liturgy? Who can be baptized? Or, as we heard in the lesson, the Ethiopian eunuch who asked, what prevents me from being baptized? What prevents me from being grafted into this vine that is Jesus, into this vine that is the church? Now, if you know anything about history, in the case of the Ethiopian eunuch, there was plenty that should have prevented him from being baptized. Because he was not only a stranger from far away, with only a very tentative, feeble connection to any of the recent events of Jerusalem that surrounded Jesus' death and resurrection, he was also a eunuch who, had he been reading somewhere else in the Hebrew Bible that was sitting on his lap, he would have discovered that he was considered unclean, unfit to even enter the prayer parts of the Jerusalem temple. For many years, when I was reading this story, I was always surprised how quickly his conversation seems to be taking place, how sure he was of what he wanted, of who he was. It was only when I learned more about the caste system of the ancient world, of how irreversible your standing in society was, how irrevocable the label
once it had been attached to your life. Only then I came to understand that the true miracle is Philip's immediate action to include this man into the fellowship of the baptized. No holds barred, no questions raised. And remember, this is a story from the time long before the Christian church is separating from the Jewish temple. At this time, Christianity is just a Jewish reform movement, still adhering to nearly all of the Jewish rules, and only slowly trying to find its spaces as its own faith community, its own congregation, its own bearings as the body of Christ. Now, I know that in this time and age, Ethiopian eunuchs are not our prime concern of our church's outreach anymore. When I checked, and I did, believe it or not, the 2010 Buffalo Census for Ethiopian eunuchs, I came up with all of zero. But we have plenty of barriers of our own standing in the way of baptism. We have qualms about claiming a particular denominational identity, or some unease about claiming a place in a religious community at all. Some of you might have heard of the writer Kathleen Norris. She's one of my favorite Midwestern writers. And she writes about a time when, as an adult, she first considered membership in her local church in Lemon, South Dakota. And she wrote, "Again and again on this cold January morning, I wanted to turn around. I had to make myself go forward. I knew that this decision, was I to go through with it, would tie me not only to people that I loved, but also to people I didn't like and couldn't respect. And I would be connected to them in the body of Christ, and there would be no turning back." And like for her, the question for many of us is not so much what would prevent us from being baptized in the first place, but what prevents us from living inside this gift of baptism to the very fullest. Inside this body of Christ, connected to each other through water and word and bread and wine, through liturgy and through casseroles and through conversations and through smiles and through tears and through laughter. When I meet with parents who ask me to have their children baptized, I often tell them that there is no magic in that water, that it will not make their children smarter, safer, or better when I sprinkle them with the water that we know to be the waters of Christ. But that these waters are the beginning of a relationship that will carry them in times when they don't feel smart, don't feel safe, don't feel good. That then this water is the outward sign of the inward grace of God's love in our lives. And that the community that it connects them to is the one that will welcome them in exactly those times when all else seems lost. That in those times, it is this community that will claim them as sisters and brothers in Christ, as fellow pilgrims on the road. And that week after week, we return here. Because outside of these walls, outside of these doors, we are labeled consumers and employees and employers and citizens and aliens and voters and taxpayers, students and teachers. But in this place, we are children of God. And that's what we practice here, day in and day out, week after week, so that when we are out there, we can remember that. We can say, we are more than the label that you give us. We are children of God, and we are connected to one another, and together we are connected to Christ. Like that Ethiopian eunuch, we all seek community. We seek belonging, and we seek a place in which we can practice being the children of God. Here, water and wine and bread and the word. And my guess is if we all added up at least 1,000 years of accumulated experience of living as children of God in the world, just add up your ages one of these days and think about how much experience is sitting in this place, is sitting in these pews. Just think of that. Here we learn. Here we practice. Here, speech and action, word and deed, witness to who we are and who we are connected to and who it is that gives us life and identity. This is the place, and this is the time to abide in the covenant that God has made with us. Like that Ethiopian eunuch, all that we need to ask ourselves, not just today in this place, but every morning that we get up, what is it that prevents me from fully living into my identity of who I am in the eyes of God? In the name of God. Amen.
Thank you.
Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Rejoicing in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we pray for the witness of the Church, the wholeness of creation, and all who are in need. For ministries that nurture faith formation, for missionaries and Bible study leaders, for those who are seeking, questioning, or curious, for seminarians, campus ministers, and the newly baptized, let us pray. For the beauty and health of the earth, for vineyards and orchards, groves and plains, for rainforests and Arctic tundra, for volcanoes and mountains, hills and valleys, for oceans deep and rivers wide, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For spears to be beat into pruning hooks, for harsh words to be reformed into loving speech, for bombs and sniper attacks to cease, for justice and peace in every land, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For homeless youth and rejected children, for isolated grandparents and lonely nursing home residents, for the shamed, the slighted, and the disregarded members of our communities, for all the sick, for those who we pray. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For all who live with post-traumatic stress disorder and postpartum depression, for all who struggle with eating disorders and anorexia, for all who suffer in silence and all who suffer alone, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
O God, we pray you open the hearts of your faithful people by sending your Holy Spirit. We ask that you direct those who gather as the Rocky Mountain Synod at the Synod Assembly by the light of that Spirit, that they may have a right judgment in all things and rejoice at all times in your peace. Help us all to serve as instruments of healing and hope for the life of the world. Guide all voting members to follow our Savior's lead. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
In thanksgiving for Catherine of Siena, and all the mystics and theologians who live eternally with you, for those we mourn and those we would rather forget, for the kingdom on earth to be as it is in heaven, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
We entrust all our prayers to you, gracious God. Receive them by the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us exchange a sign of God's peace among us.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. name?
Adam.
Adam. Okay. I ought to remember that. First person ever, right?
Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Congratulations.
That's very remarkable. And if you are ever coming at me with something in your hand, I'm going to run a long way away because you can throw it far away.
Yeah. All right, peace be with you.
Of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Generations bless your faithfulness through the water by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future. We bless you, O God. We give you thanks for your dear Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, and with us here now. And in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And after supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And so as we remember him in the breaking of the bread and the pouring of the wine, we remember him with the words he taught us to pray: "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen." The disciples knew the Lord Jesus in the breaking of the bread. "Come to this table, where you are known and loved." Amen. Let's be seated. of Christ, bread for your journey. You don't get bread yet? Then tell me. Callum, may the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you. Peace. Amen. Body of Christ, bread for your journey. The 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 body of Christ, bread for your journey. May these gifts of Christ's body and blood keep you and strengthen you in your faith and your love towards each other and towards the world. Amen. The body of Christ, bread for your journey. Body of Christ, bread for your journey. Body of Christ, bread for your journey. The 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 body of Christ, bread for your journey. May these gifts of Christ's body and blood keep you and strengthen you in fervent love toward one another and toward the world. Amen. Jesus Christ. Amen. Body of Christ, bread for your journey. The body of Christ, bread for your journey. Blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Will you please rise? Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.
In the God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, restore, support, strengthen, and bless you by the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.